So my mama sent me to the grocery store. He said, "Sonny," I said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "Go down there to the store for me and get me some butter and some sugar." I said, "Okay, mom." So I goes down there and get the butter and sugar. And on my way back home, it was two white guys, you know, big shots. You know, we called them big shots. You know, the rich people. They had the big wide hat on, the cigars in the mouth, and they had took the last cigar out the box. And they tossed the box over in the ditch. And like in the country during that time, they didn't have the blacktop. It was gravel. And so I was walking back to gravel road. So I see them throw something out, you know. I said, "They throw something away. I don't know what it was." So I got close to them. And I see there was a box. So I got there and went down in the ditch and got the box out and come up out the ditch, stand back in the road, going on home. I said, "Now this is exactly what I need to make my own guitar so I won't worry about getting a whooping no more." So I got home and I took my time, cut a little hole in it, got some rosin and soot and stuff, you know, and stuck it, glued it together. So then I had another puzzle. I said, "Now how in the world is I'm going to get the neck on it, you know, the keyboard, you know, the neck on it." And so I went, you know, during that time they had picket fence, you know, like pine boards, and they made the fence around the house. I goes and get the pine board off the fence and brought it back and measured it. And so it did have a buck saw. I took the buck saw and cut it off. But didn't have no other, you know, tools like planers and stuff like that, you know, and drills and stuff. Didn't have that. And so I got to thinking, so I went and broke me one of these big old stone jugs and planed it down with that. Then I got some regular bottle glass, the neck of a bottle, and hewed it down to the size that I needed. So then I stuck it on there with rosin and stuff, made my own little glue. Got that on there, so I said, "Well, I got that part made." I said, "Now what am I going to do for the frets?" You know, the little iron bar that go across. So I got to thinking there, and so I said, "Oh yeah, I can get some haywire and I'll do it." So I went and got the smallest haywire I could find. Taking my little gray glass and cut the little grooves down the neck and put the little wire in there and glued it down. So I had that made. So I said, "Now I got to make the tuning keys." So I went and got them some little hickory branches and cut them. And I said, "Now what am I going to do for the holes?" So then I thought again. I said, "Well, I go and get me another piece, heavier piece of wire and go to the old range stove." So during that time, we had to use like pine splinters and our oak wood. You know, we had the oak wood range stove. So I take and stick the wire into the coals and let it get red hot. Then I will burn the holes through. So I burnt my six holes through, and then burned and got a smaller piece of wire and made a little hole through the center of the little pin that come through to catch the string. So now I was in trouble again. No money to buy string. So during that time, guitar string cost like $1.50 a set. So I said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." So I said, "Well." So my dad would come off from work around about 11:30. He tied the horse to the post, to the gate post. And you know, like these old knit flies and horse flies fly and bite the horse, and they get to stomping and kicking and switching with the tail. And so as he's switching so with his tail, like he had caught the sound that coming from the hair that coming through the air. And I said, "Well, that makes a sound when he's fighting flies." I said, "Maybe it might make a sound on my little guitar." So I go out there to him, I said, "All right, Mr. Horace, take it easy now." I said, "I'm going to try one of your strand of hair, see if it's sound on my guitar." Got a regular conversation with the horse. Well, my dad in the back eating his dinner. So I pulled one strand just to test to see if it would make a sound. So I take and put it on there and tighten up a little bit. So it made a sound. It shouldn't have made a sound. So I goes back, I said, I need 5 more strings, Mr. Hoss. I'm going to get them and put on them on my guitar. So I get those and put on the guitar. So it made a great sound. You know, sound good. You know, it's very delicate. You know, if you hit a little harp, bop, it break right quick. So I goes and I say, I come back for some more strings, Mr. Hoss. After this, I ain't going to bother you anymore. And so the horse, he look around at me, you know, and do his ears like that, like he know what I was saying. What you hear what I was saying, but act like he understood, like human, like me, you know. So I kept pulling hair, I kept pulling hair, and I put a great big bald spot in his tail. Then I look back again, I felt kind of sorry, you know. I said, I'm sorry, Mr. Horse, pulling that big bald spot in your tail. And I can't replace the hair back in your tail. I said, well, I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to let you alone. And so he made sure that I wasn't going to bother no coat. When I came back up there and rest that time, then I met that great big foot. Bam, he kicked me. I hear bells ringing, birds squeaking, see lightning and thunder, and I don't know how long I was out. And so the good Lord pulled me back around. So my daddy come out and jumped on him and was going back to work. He didn't pay no attention to that bald spot because he didn't see that bald spot I pulled in the horse's tail. I got another whooping right then and there. But he happened to look over there, and once he leave, he didn't know what happened then, you see. And so after that, I said, well, I won't fool with that anymore.